tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. It's great to see so many of you the week after Easter. That's incredible. I'm really proud of you. A lot of people come out for Easter, but the incredibly awesome people come the week after Easter, and that's you. So glad you guys are here. Well, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby, and I want to invite all of you to dig a little bit deeper with what you're about to experience. What you're about to experience is not meant for something that you just sit there and idly take in. It's meant to be an experience that you engage with. And one of the best ways to do that is to take some notes, it's to ask some questions, and it's to follow along. And we want to help you do that by introducing you to a free app called YouVersion. You don't have to use this app, but it is a great app, and it's an app that I use every single day. I use it as much as I use Facebook or Twitter. Does anyone use Twitter anymore? No one uses Twitter. Or Instagram. I use this app a lot. It's the way that I read the Bible. But on Sundays, it's a place where we can take some notes. It's also a place, there's a free poll in there, as well as some other fun things in there. So if you want to follow along, you can follow the cue up there on the screen. If not, I invite you to take out a piece of paper and take some notes of your own. Today, we are continuing a series that we started off last week titled An Interview with Jesus. And the interview with Jesus, it came from this idea of, wouldn't it be great to simply ask Jesus a question and have him audibly answer it? Now, I think that Jesus does answer our questions through Scripture, through the Bible, but there are times in life where it would just be nice if you could shout out to the heavens and Jesus would audibly give you an answer. And I think one of the biggest questions that people want to know from Jesus is why. Specifically, if you've ever gone through a difficult situation in life, you've wondered why. And it makes things even more complicated when you're someone who loves God, because there's this little thing in our mind that we feel like God almost owes us something, that if I've done some things for God, then he should give me some good things in return. And it's this mindset that, you know, if I was really bad, if I was like those really bad people, then I could understand why God would let me suffer. But I'm a pretty good person, so I don't deserve any difficulties in this world. And when we have that mindset, and then we go through a difficult situation, it causes us to ask the question, why? And I wish that Jesus would just audibly answer and just tell us, hey, here's why you're going through this particular situation in this particular time. If you've been around me or been around Next Level, then you've heard the time in my life where I asked this question the most. It was a season. It was a couple weeks that led to a couple months. And it started with years of praying for my wife and I to be able to have a baby of our own. And it was 6 years of praying. And after 6 years, God answered our prayer. Even though doctors told us we couldn't get pregnant, we got pregnant with a miracle baby. And after 6 years, we finally were pregnant. And on the seventh week of the pregnancy, going into the doctor to hear the heartbeat, there was no heartbeat. And that crushed my faith. Because I went into this appointment thinking that this is the miracle, this is the answer to prayer, that God has answered it. Surely, he's not going to take this away. And for the next few weeks, I had a hard time even praying or reading the Bible because I kept asking this question, why? God, I could get on board if you would just say, you're never going to get pregnant. I could accept that. But I don't know if I can accept the fact that we've asked for something and you dangled it in front of us and now you've taken it away. And if you've been around Next Level, you've heard me share that part, because that is literally the point in my life where I asked the question, why? The part of the story that I don't share a lot is what happened the next handful of years. A handful of years later, my wife and I, we get pregnant again. And this time it was an incredible, scary season in our life because of what happened the first time. And for 20 weeks of the pregnancy, we had multiple scares. And it was so scary. My wife had to be on bed rest multiple times. And there were multiple times during this 20 weeks where we were sure that we had lost the baby. And it was one of these days where I was convinced that we had just lost another baby, that I had just kind of become numb to the experience. And I don't know if you've ever been through so much pain that you just kind of numb it. And you're just like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it because it just feels too real. And I don't know how I'm going to react. Specifically, I don't know how I'm going to react to God. Because if I can just kind of bury this pain, then me and God can be okay. But as soon as I start to acknowledge that I'm scared and I'm afraid, I might say some things to God that I may regret. And on this day, I went through my whole entire workday just feeling numb, feeling like I had lost the baby, lost another prayer request, and feeling scared and having to wait for the following day to find out if we lost our baby. And I remember that night, I just was feeling anxious and a little bit worried, and I decided to go out for a jog. And I went outside for the jog, and I put in some headphones, and as I was going out, my normal routine for a jog is to do a pre-warm-up of walking. I have to convince myself to actually jog, and so I walk. I walk a little bit to kind of convince myself and warm myself up, and as I'm walking, I started for the first time in this day of actually having a conversation with God. And it kind of just was going through my mind of like, where do I start? What do I say to God? How do I even have this conversation? And I hadn't started playing music yet because I was just focused on what am I going to say to God. And I got to the point where I'm walking down the street of my neighborhood and I stop in the middle of the street and I say my prayer to God. And I wish that I could stand here and say that it was an amazingly well-rehearsed prayer. I wish that I could say it was a prayer that fit within Scripture. I wish that I could say it was like an amazing poem and it was honoring to God, but it wasn't. My prayer in that moment, I stood in the middle of the street in my neighborhood and I screamed out loud, God, don't take my baby. My neighbors probably thought I was really crazy because I said it out loud and I screamed it. And they probably thought, like, what's wrong with this guy? Who's taking his baby? Like, what? He has no baby. Like, he's walking by himself. Like, what is happening? And I wish I could tell you that in that moment, God audibly talked to me and he let me know that everything was going to be okay. And I wish that I could tell you that God spoke, that he opened up the heavens and he said, hey, here's a message and here's my voice, and I'm going to tell you why you're going through this. And I wish I could tell you that that happened, but that's not what happened. What happened next was pretty cool, and I'm going to save that for a little later on in the sermon. But what I want to make sure that you guys know that if you've ever been in a situation in life where you've questioned why to God, I'm so glad that you're here today. Because I can't answer for sure why you've gone through or why you are going through what you've gone through, but I am pretty convinced that if we were able to have a conversation with Jesus and Jesus were to answer us and we could audibly hear him, why are you going through the difficult circumstances you're going through right now? I think if you were to ask Jesus that in an interview style, I'm convinced his answer would sound something like this. Check it out. What up, son of God?
Hi, Rob.
Hey, thanks for taking time out of your really busy schedule to meet with me and answer some more questions.
It's my pleasure. God bless you.
you just pre-bless my sneeze? That's amazing. I bet you got a lot of party tricks.
I do. Just do not ask me to turn water into wine or full flavor tasting Mountain Dew that speeds up your metabolism and is calorie free.
Get out of my head, Jesus. That's amazing.
I'll try. It's going to be hard for me to do, but I'll do that for you.
Okay, so you pre-blessing my sneeze and like knowing what's going to happen, that actually segues perfectly to my first question. If you know what's going to happen, why don't you stop bad things before they happen? Why don't you stop bad things from happening? I mean, come on, man. You're like really good. Why don't you stop bad things? Like, sorry, no offense.
Yeah, I've had a lot of time to develop some pretty thick skin, but let me ask you a question.
Oh, man, I remember this from our last interview. You love to ask questions of people that ask you questions.
So how would you feel if I told you that I made you love Chipotle and the Lakers and even Monica?
I mean, I guess I wouldn't really like it. I kind of like the idea that I have some type of choice in the matter. I don't know.
Free will works both ways. I know this is complicated, but just bear with me. If I give you free will to do good things, I have to give you free will to do bad things. I could force you to love me, but then that's not really love. And for example, What if I told you that if you didn't love me, I would send a plague of 1,000 feral cats to your house. I would make you have a third nipple. And then on top of that, I would ban you from Chipotle and make all your food taste like lima beans.
Slow your roll, Jesus. That's like literally my worst nightmares coming true.
Exactly. So, what's your answer?
What? What? I mean, I guess I would love you, but I wouldn't like it.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
You wouldn't like me to force you to love me because that's not love. If I don't force people to love me, I can't force people to not do evil. That would go against free will. And that doesn't mean that I don't care or that I'm not present. I'm very present.
Wow. That's deep.
What I desire is a relationship. And a healthy relationship can only be made when two people choose one another. If I choose you and then force you to choose me, that's not love. That's a hostage situation.
Oh, Jesus has jokes.
Yes, but don't miss my point. I love people. I died for the world. The relationship with me is a choice. I stand at the door and knock, but I'm not going to kick it in.
People don't really get you, do they?
No. You know what I was known for back in the day?
Walking on water.
Cold.
The miracle where you turn water into wine.
Even colder.
Oh, come on. Are you sure? Because I know some people today that would be your best friend if you turned water into wine.
You're ice cold. You're absolutely ice cold. So I just tell you, I was known as a glutton. Yep, a glutton and a drunkard.
For reals?
Yeah, and the food wasn't even that good. When I came back, I changed the dietary laws. I mean, can't not eat bacon.
Bacon. Thank you for bacon.
My pleasure.
Isn't that Chick-fil-A's slogan?
Yeah, who do you think inspired it? I mean, they're not called Christian chicken for no reason.
Well played, Jesus. Well played. All right, well, let's get on to some less serious questions. If God were to sneeze, what should I say?
Rob, the last time we sneezed, dinosaurs went extinct and unicorns lost their horns.
What? For real?
Nah, I'm kidding. I guess hypothetically, if we were to sneeze, you would say, bless yourself.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Well, what's your favorite sport?
Whatever Tim Tebow's playing.
For real?
Nah, I'm kidding. I don't like sports. I care for people.
Well, that's obvious, because I've been praying you all season you'd help the Lakers become good. You've been ignoring my prayer.
Well, you prayed the wrong prayer. If you would have asked for Tim Tebow, I would have sent him to deliver the Lakers. Yeah, Pastor Carl Lentz of Hillsong has been praying for the Mets all year, and so I give Tebow to him.
What? For real?
I'm kidding.
You are funny. It's crazy to think how relatable you are.
Man, why wouldn't I be? We created people in our image. You know, I desire to be in relationship with you just like you desire to be in relationship. I call as many people as I can, but most won't answer the call.
I'm so glad I did. You've changed my life.
I love you.
Man, I love you too. Thank you for taking time for this interview. It's been amazing spending some time with you. Thanks for answering my questions.
My pleasure.
You don't have to agree with my take or understanding of Jesus and what he would say to our question of why. And I'm convinced that you don't have to agree with me and we can still be friends. But it is my understanding that if we were to ask Jesus why, he wouldn't give us an answer. And that might frustrate some of us because we so want an answer to why are we going through difficulties. And I think ultimately the reason that we ask why when we go through a difficulty is because of our misunderstanding of who God is. You see, we understand that God is in control. What we misunderstand is that if God is in control, we think that that must mean that he is controlling. And God can be in control and he's not controlling. God can hold the universe in his hands and still have a plan and not be controlling us as human beings. And I'm convinced of this simply because of the description of God over and over again throughout the scriptures. I don't claim to understand God completely. In fact, it makes me nervous when pastors say that they really understand God, because I think God is too big for us to fully understand. So there's a lot of things about God that I don't comprehend, but there's one thing that I see over and over again in Scripture, and that is the description of God is that God is love. And in order to have love, you have to have freedom, because if you're not free, it's not love. Love is a choice that two people have to choose to be in a relationship with one another. And when you understand that about God, it changes the way that you read the entire Scriptures. Like, for example, the way that the whole story of the Bible starts is that God gives us the creation account. And in the creation account, he tells us about a guy by the name of Adam and a woman by the name of Eve. And he says that it's the first man and the first woman. And he creates them and he puts them in the garden. And he says to them, you are free. That's a big word there. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why, if God was controlling, would he give them this choice? Why would he say, you're free to eat from any tree, if he was going to control them, and ultimately his controlling would lead them to eat from the tree that was going to cause them to die? Why does he do that? Like, that's manipulation. That's a charade. God gives them a consequence because he knows the consequences of making poor choices. And so God, because he loves them and wants a relationship with them, says, hey guys, listen, here's the deal. There, you are free. You can eat from anything that you want. But let me tell you, there is one tree and there's some consequences from eating from this tree. And if you choose this, the consequence is death. But you freely can choose wherever or whatever you want to eat from. And it's my understanding of God that when we have a relationship with God, he doesn't control us. He doesn't force us to do things. He allows us to be in a relationship with him, but we play a part in it. And this is so important because so often Christians love to put all the blame and love to put all the responsibility back on God. But you have a choice and you have a part to play in a relationship with God. God calls, but you have a part to play. And I want to show you this in our scripture today. It comes from something that Jesus said, and we're interviewing Jesus, so we want to hear exactly what he says and where do we get these ideas from. And it comes from Jesus' last night on this earth, where he's meeting with his disciples and he says something that's incredibly important to them, but it's not just important to them, it's really important to us today. And at Next Level, we want to honor the text because we believe the text is from God, and so ultimately we're honoring God. So you guys have been sitting for a few minutes. Would you humor me and stand to your feet? Show some honor to our text. It's John 13, 34 through 35, and we're going to read it nice and loud together on the count of three. One, two, three. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now that we've read the text, let's engage with God and talk to him in prayer. Will you guys pray with me? God, we come before you right now, and we don't want to belittle anyone's pain or any of the struggles that we've been through. We come here, and so often we've asked why. And God, so today we just ask that you would just start to heal some of our hearts. We ask that you would speak to us. We ask you to remove the distractions from this room so that we could hear you clearly. And God, we just ask that you would help us to hear what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. But hearing from you is not the hard part, God. It's doing what you say. So God, would you give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the text that we just read says, love as Jesus has loved you. And in order to understand the significance of that, we need to get the context of what was going on that night and in Jesus' life and what led him to say that. And so we're going to read a few verses before that and we're going to break it down. You can follow along on the screens or in YouVersion. We're going to start with John 13, 31 through 32. It says, when he was gone, comma, let's stop there just for a second. When he was gone, well, who is he? Well, this is on Jesus' last night. He's hanging out with his 12 disciples. One of his disciples was a guy by the name of Judas. And if you've been in the church scene for a long time, you know what Judas did. Can you just shout it out? What did Judas do? Yes, I don't really understand what you just said, but I think that was the right answer. He betrayed Jesus. And so at this point, it's the Last Supper, and Jesus has said, Judas, go do what you're going to do. Judas gets up and he leaves the other disciples. Now, Jesus has been saying the same thing to his disciples over and over again. Guys, I'm going to leave you. I'm taking off. I'm going. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to be with you forever. And his disciples could not understand that. They kept fighting it. They kept pushing back. They kept saying, no, you're not. You can't go anywhere. You're here. They had a misunderstanding of what Jesus was supposed to do. Well, at this point, Jesus knows he only has a few moments left to convince them that his time with them is almost up, that if he doesn't get it through their heads right now, he's going to be gone and they're going to be lost and wandering. So Judas leaves, and Jesus then says this: now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. That's a lot of glory. Essentially what Jesus is saying is that God and me are one, and the decisions that I make, they glorify God, because I'm making them because God has asked me to do them, that we are one, that I'm doing these things not of my own will, but because God has asked me to do them. But that is incredibly important because it sets up this very next thing that Jesus says. John 13:33, he says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. One of the biggest reasons that we ask God why is because we have these predetermined expectations in our life. We have these thoughts of where we think that we want to be, and we have these thoughts of where our marriage one day will be if we're not married, or if you are married, you have these thoughts of what your marriage should look like, and if you have kids, you have these ideas of what should happen with your kids, and we all have these ideas in our mind. And we question God when something happens in life that doesn't go according to our plan, right? We don't question God when something good happens that doesn't go according to our plan. We question God when something bad happens that doesn't go according to our plan. Like, none of you, if you had a relative that you did not know about, it was a long-lost relative, and you today, as soon as you walked out of church, someone met you at the doors of the church and said, hey, listen, you had no idea that you had this great uncle Jojo, and great uncle Jojo just died and he left you $1 million. Here you go. You wouldn't say, why, God? Why are you doing this to me? That wasn't a part of my plan. What would you say if you got $1 million? You would say, hashtag blessed. You would say, that's incredible, right? When good things happen to us, we feel like, oh, God's on my side. I'm getting everything that I want and need. This is great. The problem with that thinking is we think that when things go good, we're blessed, and when things go bad, we must have done something wrong. And it leads us to ask this question, why? But could it be that your life is blessed during good times and bad times? And could it be that one of the reasons you might be missing out on what God wants to do in difficult seasons is because you're focused on the wrong thing? And we want to focus on the good times, but in this season in the disciples' life, this is a bad time. And if you've ever had your expectations totally dashed and ruined, and if your plans have not gone about the way that you think they've gone about, you can relate to the disciples, because the disciples at this moment, they thought they were going to reign with Jesus. They originally thought that Jesus was going to come on the scene as the Messiah, and he was going to take out the Roman Empire, and they were going to rule as King David did, the guy that fought the big giant named Goliath, as he ruled in Israel. They thought Jesus was going to do that. And Jesus just knocks that idea off and says, I'm not going to do that. I'm about the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples have to change their perspective and say, okay, he's not going to reign like King David did. He's going to reign in heaven. So you know what they do? They start fighting about which one of them is going to have a seat in this new kingdom of heaven. And they've totally missed what Jesus is going to do. And in their minds, they're thinking that when Jesus goes away, he's going to bring them with them, and they're going to get to go to paradise, and they're going to get to go to heaven with him. And so on his last night, he says, guys, I'm leaving. And they've zoned him out because they've heard this message over and over again. Oh yeah, Jesus, we know you're leaving, and we're going to get to go with you, and this is going to be awesome. Hashtag blessed. But then Jesus says, you're going to look for me, but where I'm going, you cannot come. And it's in those moments where we ask God, why? Wait a second, this isn't the plan that I had, God. My plan was, you called me and I'm following you, and now I'm going to reign with you, and we're going to take over this world. What do you mean you're leaving and I can't go with you? God, my plan was that we were going to grow old together. What do you mean you took them away? God, my plan was that I was going to have that job and I was going to retire happily. What do you mean I am fired? God, my plan was this, and now life has hit me hard, and I don't know how to deal with that, so now I'm asking you why. And in this circumstance, if you go back and read around it, in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and I believe 16, if you read those chapters, which I encourage you to do, you'll see the disciples over and over again are like, Jesus, you got to tell us why. We don't know what you're talking about. You're saying that you're going somewhere and we can't go with you. What's going on? Why? What is happening? And Jesus never, not once, answers why. He never tells them why he is leaving. He never tells them why they can't go with him. Over and over again, he comes back to not a why, but a who. Look at John 13, 34. This is Jesus' response instead of why. He says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So they're sitting there in that moment and their life plan has just been dashed. And they want to know why. Why can't we go with you? Why can't we reign with you? And Jesus says, I'm not going to answer why. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you this new command. And the new command is to love. Now this is problematic because how do you command someone to love? I mean, think about it just for a second. Okay, just humor me. All right, someone shout out, what is your least favorite food? Just shout it out, least favorite. Liver. I heard liver. I heard a lot of other disgusting foods, but liver won out. That you are passionate about liver, okay? As your pastor, I command you to like liver. She said no. Well, no, you don't understand. I command you to like liver. She's still saying no. Okay? Right? It doesn't work. When you don't want to do something, it doesn't matter if someone commands you. It just doesn't work that way. Right? Like, it doesn't matter if you like me. It doesn't matter if you say, hey, yeah, Rob's my pastor. You know, I support him. If you don't want to do it, it doesn't matter. And so if I wanted some money and I was like, I command you, give me $5. You'd be like, uh-uh, son, I'm out of here. I can't command you to do something you don't want to do. And so this is incredibly problematic because the disciples are like, why? Why can't we go with you? And Jesus says, I command you to love one another. How do you love as a command? I don't know the answer for sure, but I think what Jesus is doing is he's playing off their perception of who God was. Up until this point, the understanding of God was that God was a God who gave commands, and the commands were demanded to be followed. If you followed what God said, your life was blessed. If you didn't follow what God said, your life was cursed. And their understanding was, if we follow these commands, it doesn't matter if we like them. It doesn't matter if our heart's behind it. We just have to mindlessly do these commands. If we just check off some boxes and do what God tells us to do, we will have a blessed life. But if we make any mistakes, then God's going to curse us, and God's going to get us, and he's going to harm us. And so let's just do whatever we have to do to appease God. That was their understanding of the commands. And that stupid understanding of God is very prominent in our world today. It's this understanding that if you do what you're supposed to do, God's going to bless you. But if you don't, if you mess up, if you make a mistake, there must be a reason why. Why would a good person go through a divorce? Well, it must have been something. You must have upset God. Why would a good person who is healthy have cancer? Well, there must be a reason why behind this. You must have done something in your life. There has to be a reason why. Why would a good person struggle? Why would a good person die at a young age? Why would a good person go through this? We often attach a why to it, and it is an awful thing to attach. In moments where people struggle, Christians are some of the worst at simply accepting the fact that we may not know why. And your friends and your family, they are going to go through struggle, and sometimes it may not be you, it may be someone that you know, where life has hit them and it doesn't match their expectation of life. And what do you do in that moment? You're going to be tempted to answer why. You're going to be tempted to come to them and say, hey, you're struggling right now. Let me give you the answer. This is why you might be going through that. And in your mind, you want to analyze it and say, hey, you're going through this divorce, and let me point you the way. Let me give you an answer. And let me just tell you, when someone's struggling in this world, any answer you try to give them is trite. and it is offensive. And if you're a Christian in the room today, your best response when people struggle is to shut up and be there with them. And Jesus' response to the question, why, was not an answer, but it was simply love. And so in our lives, when it's awkward and we're like, I just want to help them, I want to give them an answer. When someone in your life is struggling, your response is not to figure out what answer to give them. Your response is to figure out, how do I love them? And if you need to love them by simply being there with them, then you just be there with them in silence. And if you need to love them by providing them a meal, then you provide them a meal. If you need to love them by listening to them ramble on over and over again and just say some crazy things because they're hurting without judgment, then you sit there and say, this is a judge-free zone. You can go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm not going to judge you. You find out how you can love the people in your life who are hurting. Why? Because one day the table might turn and one day you might be hurting and you might be asking why to God. And what do you want in that moment? You don't want someone to cram answers down your throat. You want someone to love you. And Jesus' response to the disciples' questions of why can't we go with you? Why can't we reign with you? Why can't we go to heaven? Jesus doesn't answer why. Jesus throws at them a relationship. And this is ultimately the main idea for today. If you're taking notes, this is something I'd like you to write down and chew on. It's simply this: the answer to pain in the world is not why, but who. The answer to pain in the world is not why, but who. In fact, this to me is such a big understanding of God. I would like for you just to humor me and just say it out loud. Would you just say it out loud on the count of three? One, two, three. The answer to pain in the world is not why, but who. This is so important for us as human beings. We want to assign a why to all the problems that we go through. And the best of my understanding is that all throughout scriptures, whenever someone asks God why, he never answers that. And I don't know if it's because our little minds just can't understand the why behind pain, but God never gives us a why. Every time when people ask God why, he offers them a relationship. And the answer to your pain in that moment is not why. Asking why someone went through something just leads you down to more questions, and it leads you to more confusion, and ultimately it leads you to some really dark places. In those moments in my life, when we went through a miscarriage that I thought was a miracle of God, I was asking why, and it didn't lead me anywhere good. It didn't lead me to feel like, oh, this happened for a reason, and let me figure out that reason. Asking why was separating me from God because it was causing a bitterness and an anger because I just couldn't fathom why God would allow this to happen. And I told you earlier that a few years later when we got pregnant again, I was wrestling with and kind of numb to these feelings, and I went out for a jog and I cried out to God in the middle of my street, and I was just crying out, God, don't take my baby. What I didn't know at that point is that my wife was pregnant with twins, and I had no idea. I just was crying out because I thought that our one baby, I only thought we had one, I thought that that baby, we had lost it, and I just needed God to give me an answer. And I stood there in the street and God was silent. And after a few moments of it just being silent, I put my headphones on and I said, well, I'm out here, I might as well just go for a run. And I turned on my music, and the very first song that played was a slow song, and typically I like to run to faster music, but for some reason I decided to keep this song on. It was a song that I had heard not too much earlier from this jog. It was a song I heard at a conference. It's a lead singer from a band that I really like called Switchfoot, but this is a solo album that the lead singer had put out. And he was at a conference and he sang this song, and I thought it was an okay, decent song. And so I downloaded it, but it was one of those songs that I hadn't really paid much attention to. I didn't love it. It wasn't a song that I jammed out to. It was just kind of slower, and it was just okay, but for some reason in that moment, after I cried out to God, this song kind of captured my attention, and I'm listening to the lyrics as I'm walking down the street and listening to the words of John Foreman, and in the second verse of the song, he sings, so why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Your love is strong. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but I needed God to give me an answer. And I wish he would have parted the heavens, and I wish he would have said something to me audibly, But instead, he gave me a song, and the song kept telling me over and over again that the love of God is strong. And I didn't know the outcome of what was going to happen. I didn't know that that scare was going to be okay. And I didn't know that eventually we were going to give birth to twins and that now those twins are 6 years old. And I didn't know how the story was going to end. But in that moment, all I could hold on to is that God's love is strong. And in your pain and in the difficulties that you go through and the difficulties that your friends and family go through, they don't want to know why. What they want to know is who. And ultimately, you can point to the fact that God's love is strong. Despite difficult circumstances, God's love is strong. Jesus then goes on to say, and this is the conclusion of this section for today, John 13:35, he says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus introduces this new command, which is, you can't really command someone to love, but really he's just flipping this idea of commands on its head, and he's really just saying, instead of following commands, I want to give you a relationship, and I just want you to follow me, and I want you to understand what it means to have a relationship with me, and I want you to love like I have loved you. That's the command. Just fall in love with me. Let me love you, and you'll love other people. But then he says to us, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, why is this so important? It's incredibly important because when people are asking the question why, they are not running to the church. And I think that's problematic. Because this sermon is not just about why did you go through difficulties. It's about the fact that everyone in our world at some point is going through a difficult circumstance. And when they go through difficulties, they should be running to God. They should be running to the church. But if you look outside the walls of the church, people aren't looking to us for answers. Why? Because we've jacked up this understanding of God. And every time someone is hurting, every time someone goes through a difficult circumstance, we come running with our answers and say, hey, you're going through that. This is the reason. You've sinned, and let me tell you the reason for that. You're hurting, and let me point to the reason for that. We are cramming our answers down people's throats, and they're like, I don't care what you have to say. And why don't they care what we have to say? Because Christians are known for crucifying their own. And what did Jesus say to his disciples on that night? I'm going to leave. You can't go with me. But you want to know how the world's going to know that you're one of mine? It's not by your theology. It's not by your answers. It's not by cramming some facts down people's throats. It's by the way that you love one another. The answer to pain in the world is not why, but who. Ultimately, it is God's love through you. The answer to pain in the world is not why, but who, and ultimately it's God's love through you. Every human being that's in this world is going to go through a season of pain and hurt, and I wish I could take it away. I wish I could say you won't go through questions, and I wish I could give you an answer why, but God never tells us why, and Jesus never tells us why, so I can't tell you why. All I can do is point you to a who, and I know in my seasons of the deepest and darkest hurt and pain, God was there for me. And Jesus said, as I have been there for you, you then are to be there for one another. And so ultimately, the reason why people question, is there a God in this world, is not because God's not answering their prayers, it's because Christians aren't loving the world. And ultimately, the answer to why is there pain in this world is not an answer of why, but it's an answer of who. And who is the answer? It is Jesus, but it's ultimately Jesus through you. That God has strategically placed you in someone's life who their world is falling apart. And you may not feel qualified, and you may not know what to do, and you may not have the answers, and you may not feel like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. I've never been through training. I don't know what to say to them. Don't say anything. Figure out how to love them. Because when you love people well, it points to the God that you serve. And the answer to pain in our world is not why, but who, and ultimately is God through you. That's why one of our core values at Next Level Church is simply, you can't do life alone. This isn't just some pithy saying that we put on a wall down there. It's something that we believe. Every single one of us at some point is going to go through a difficulty, and we're going to ask God why. And in that moment, who's going to be the ones that's going to lift us up? It's each other. And at some point, I'm going to let you down. And the answer for this church is not to have a perfect pastor. The answer for this church is that when we sin, when we make mistakes, when we let each other down, that we come together and we love one another. Because you know the greatest message that we can give to the world? It's not our theology. It's not what we believe about sin. All that stuff's important. But you know, ultimately, the best message we can give to the world is that when you're here, this is a safe place because you are loved. And you're not loved because you follow some rules, and you're not loved because we agree with you. You're loved because you're a child of God. And we're going to love because He first loved us. And when you doubt and when you question, I'll be strong. And when I doubt and when I question, you'll be strong. And together, we'll love one another. Wouldn't you like to be a part of something like that? Don't you think that if we could do that, it would change the world? Application today is simply this. God is love, and He uses people to love us through pain. So what area of your life are you trying to deal with the pain on your own? If you are experiencing pain, don't ask why, but who. One of the biggest lies of pain is that we have to go through it alone. And oftentimes, if it's self-inflicted pain, we think that we have to figure out the answer by ourselves. And let me just tell you that if you're going through pain, the answer is not why, but who. And whether it's a difficulty in your marriage or it's a difficulty in life or even if it's an addiction that you're embarrassed by, the answer is who. Who do you know that can help you? Find a safe person that can point to the love of Jesus. The answer to get out of your problems and struggles and the answer to get out of the pain is not why, it is who. Someone that is safe that can point you back to Jesus. Ultimately, together, we can experience the love of God. Will you guys pray with me? God, we come before you today, and we just wrestle with this stuff. We wrestle with life because it's just hard. And we ask God in Jesus' name that you would right now be stirring something in our hearts and our minds for those of us who've dealt with serious pain and who are struggling to even wrap our minds around what we've been through. God, would you help us just to start to understand that we may never understand on this side of eternity why, but we can learn more about you. And so we ask God right now that you would just pour your love out over us. We ask that you would just draw our hearts to you. We ask God that you would heal our brokenness. We ask God you would remove the pride from our minds that causes us to live in isolation and not to walk towards each other. Would you help us to create a safe place where we can love like you've loved us? Would you help us to do this because you've loved us first? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.